Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
From the home of Time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team.
This is Charlton Live.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Welcome to Charlton Live. We'll be delighted to be joined by in the studio this evening by a special guest. It's Samir Carruth. Oh, never mind. Both Nathan and Mark were looking at each other there, trying to work out who the special guest was.
So thunder here.
Good evening. Welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendez. It's the Charlton Live on Maritime Radio. Like I said, on your Sunday evening, joining me in the studio as we're gearing up to look back at yesterday's 1-0 win over Bury and a whole host of other stuff that's come out over the last couple of days is Mr. Nathan Monroe. Do you know?
Living the dream.
The dream is back on.
Yes.
We're back in the playoffs.
Yes. Just about. Just about, mate. Yeah.
Well, see, it's in it, whether you're just about or not. joining the pair of us, Mark Newby. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. Just counting the players we've got left.
Yeah, well, again, yeah. Not many. But enough to get us into the playoffs, which is great news. Right, so on tonight's show, we are going to look back at yesterday's 1-0 win over Bury. We're going to hear the highlights from that game. We're also going to hear from Carl Robinson and discuss his reaction to the game, his reaction to Ricky Holmes' upcoming departure, and of course his reaction to, effectively, Samir Carruth's not coming. And now Carl Robinson, obviously very careful. He doesn't like to slag off the owner in the press, but luckily for him, some of us can do some digging. And I found out that it was Ronan du Châtelet that that blocked the move of Samir Carruth's coming to the club in a part exchange deal for Ricky Holmes. So we're going to talk about that as well. Our player in focus this afternoon is Harry Lennon. So if you head over to our Charlton Live Twitter page, you'll find a Harry Lennon tweet. If you want to respond to that, let us know what you've made of the Academy graduate since his return from a fair few months out injured, over a year in fact, out injured. And like I say, if you want to get involved in anything else, so you want to talk about anything that's come out over the last couple of days, you can do. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show if you want to have your say on anything, the takeover, the transfer situation, Ricky Holmes leaving, the win over Bury yesterday, Carl Robinson's demeanour. Anything you want to talk about, get in contact. Before we have a quick listen to the highlights of yesterday's game, Nath and Mark, knee review were there, couldn't be bothered. left it to us battlers to, who got up there to watch the game. But a 1-0 win, Nath, back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was a good win. When it got sort of to about an hour, I was just sitting there thinking, listening to Attell and then and Greg, and I reckon they're going to get a goal here. I could just see, because we said on Thursday they're bound to score. Luckily they didn't. But yeah, no, it was a win. I don't think they caused us too many threats listening back, and obviously you were there. But yeah, it was one of 3 points is 3 points. Saturday should be a bit nicer with a few more players back, but yeah, you just have to get the job done sometimes. So yeah, all good.
Excellent, Mark. You, like I say, you weren't there either, but you happy to see the result come through?
Yeah, happy and pleased to see Marshall score. I mean, I've been on his back recently.
Well, that's probably why he's been playing so badly.
Probably
been
so slow carrying a 15-stone guy around with him. And so good to it was just a 2-inch poke in, but he was there, and I was impressed with him on Tuesday night. And hopefully now he can kick on. I mean, we keep saying this about different players, but can they kick on? Maybe if Ricky's gone and, he's going to be the one who can take on players and beat them and be that X factor, that spark we need. So,
fingers crossed. Right, let's have a listen back to the highlights of yesterday's game then. This is Terry Smith and Greg Stubley on Valley Pass.
Stride forward, Harry Leonard. Looking for an option out ball. Tries to chip out Marshall, who gets his head there, to be fair. It's a lovely header. Inside to Mavadini, who tees up McGuinness. Edge of the penalty area on the Charlton left-hand side. Beats his man into the box, into the edge of six-yard ball. Saved away towards Mavadini and then cleared, as Mavadini just couldn't control the ball ricocheting back turns into the penalty area. Takes a sort of cross shot, and it might find Bunn on the far post. It does. Back into Hanson, whose header goes wide left of the post, and that's Berry's first real effort of the game.
Scars with the throw down the line, looking for Hanson, who flicks it on, and Charlton recover possession now with Konza. Goes back to his goalkeeper, Amos. Clears away, Lon looking for McGuinness, and McGuinness
might, over the top,
and McGuinness is through. Josh McGuinness, the keeper, next to it, tried to chip it, didn't get the contact, and it's straight out Ripley at the end. And when will a goal fall for McGuinness?
That had to be a goal, I'm sorry.
There is the half-time whistle, and Charlton, we're disappointed to be going in a half-time goalless after Alex get behind the team. It's a good ball from Maribo down the line for Reeves. Reeves held up by Cameron momentarily. Ball inside, finds Mavadidi. Mavadidi finds a rebo. Shooting chance. Oh, it's a poor first touch.
Oh, it's got to be and a pass back.
Surely not. Touched that back to the keeper there.
How can that not be a pass back?
Ripley took a chance by picking it up. I tell you what.
How is that not a pass back? That's bizarre.
Adjacent to the penalty area. Cuts back inside. Ishmael. Good ball cross to Dawson. It goes to goal. That's a horrendous effort. He tried to get onto his right foot, but my word.
Should have gone with his left, shouldn't he? That's the way the ball was coming to him. And now
it's got to be one of the worst attempts I've ever seen.
As well.
It was a horrendous effort.
I'm not entirely sure what he was thinking.
He was just trying to let the ball run and then hit it.
Obviously right-footed,
I'm
guessing.
The outside of his right foot, or just hit it straight at goal. But driving the ball forward, leaves it for Marshall. Marshall comes inside to his left foot. Good ball inside to Aribo in the penalty area. Aribo forced away by Cameron. Still with it, Aribo. Cuts back out. Down the line. Aribo, bit of space. Aribo, ball in the box. Mark Marshall! Yeah! Can't take the lead. Mark Marshall's first league goal for the Addicts. Great work from Aribo to cut back inside the penalty area. Put the ball across. And it was tapped home by Marshall. And Charlton have the lead.
What superb work from Joe Aribo. And you thought at one point when Marshall and Reeves were exchanging passes on that far right-hand side that the momentum might have gone a little bit. But when Marshall picked out Joe Aribo in the box, he was forced out towards the edge of the penalty area, but still managed to then come back in outside to shape to cross it with his left. Immediately turned and went back the other way, and that completely fooled the Bury defence. His ball across the box was pinpoint and accurate, straight to Marshall, who kept his run going.
Scars. Flicks it in towards Lee, does likewise into the penalty area. It's an awkward one. McGuinness flicks it down. It comes to Mayo.
Get up.
He falls down to the box. The Charlton looks to break here as the ball finds Reeves. Reeves has to lay it off to Mavadidi and does so. Mavadidi will look to drive at Dawson. Gets past him. And Dawson surely blocks him off, but he's still got past him. Mavadidi in the penalty area. Stephen Mavadidi still. Mavadidi off the post. How's that stayed out?
Oh, my
Ripley
word.
Got a touch. He just thought Mavadidi was just going to bury it for 2-0.
Oh, that had to
and
be
how's that stayed out?
Heading into the corner, goes past his man. Alcuni does really well, actually, to be fair, to win it back for Berry. But that's the final whistle.
So lovely old stuff there. The commentary highlights of yesterday's win up at Berry on Valley Pass. Thanks to Terry Smith and to Greg Stubley. You know, for all the doom and gloom off the field at the moment with this prolonged takeover situation, the transfer, almost self-imposed embargo we seem to be under at the moment. I mean, for the players and the terrible run of form we've been on over the last couple of months, for the players to pull 2-1-0 victories out of a hat at such a vital time and to get back into the playoffs, I mean, that's some real character they've shown, and fair play to Carl Robinson for getting those two wins out of them.
Yeah, I mean, we've said a number of times that you can't really try and use the behind-the-scenes stuff as a distraction. You know, they're professionals and they've done their job, been very determined. And like you say, we've got two, you know, not some spectacular wins, but two decent wins, one at home and one away, when we were going through a sticky patch. And it just shows, like you say, the grit of the squad, and especially with what Robbo said, which we'll come on to, about with obviously JFC and Souls. It just proves that, you know, there are players there that, you know, do care about the club at the moment and obviously want us to go and do better things. So it's a step in the right direction. We've still got some tough games coming up. We've just got to try and keep this momentum now. Now we're back in those playoffs, and hopefully we can build on it and obviously make a late push.
The situation that the squad's found itself in, of course, we knew about before the game. We knew Ricky Holmes wasn't going to be there. We knew we were starting the game with five substitutes, two of whom weren't really anywhere near fully fit in the form of Forster Caskey and Chris Solly. So, I mean, that must, even though you're playing the team that's at the bottom of the league, hasn't scored in now over 12 and a half hours of league football, that must be something that before a game will just sap a little bit of confidence out of you, you'd think.
Well, you'd think so. And I had, when I saw the team and saw that we only had five subs, did have a slight issue with. I know he said he doesn't want to put players, young players, on the bench just for the sake of filling a bench out, but you don't know how much of that is him trying to make a point, you know, to the people above. You know, we need extra players, because you're not telling me that Lapsley couldn't have sat there, or Muscoli, or even Cummins. You know, they've played in cup games this year. You know, could we have at least filled out a bench?
I mean, Carl talks a lot about whether the players in the development squad have earned it yet, because I think there's been a fair bit of that. He said he's not going to put players on there just for the sake of it. They have to earn it. So I think he's implying that basically the ones we haven't seen, so obviously we have seen Lapsley and the like on the bench, I guess he's implying that whoever else hasn't earned it yet, and maybe that's why. But
yeah, I mean, I agree with Carl in a way. I mean, to that extreme, you know, to only have two, I sort of, because I maybe just put a couple of them on, but with the likes of, like Mark just said, the Lapsleys of the world, I think if they can see that there is an opportunity there, and they're probably doing okay. I don't think they're doing badly, but if they know that there's an opportunity there, if they try and hit that next level, then they can obviously make it. But obviously, exactly what Mark said, you know, with Lapsley, he was on the bench for Blackpool, so, you know, why did he deserve it that week and not this week, for example, I don't know. But obviously, Robbo said it wasn't, he isn't playing games. I think it is a bit of both. But it is what it is. But luckily we got away with it yesterday.
Yeah, the other bit of team news, other than, of course, Ricky Holmes' absence, which we all knew was going to happen after we were spotted in that hotel at Sheffield United's ground the night before, was Patrick Bauer being out. Now, this raised a few eyebrows, because during the week, when we spoke to Carl after the Checker trade game, he was asked if Patrick Bauer had been rested for that game and if he was fit, and Carl said yes, he had been rested, he would be fit for Saturday. But then it turns out he took a knock on his ankle in training on Friday. So, I mean, as far as we know, there's nothing sinister going on there. It just so happens that he took a knock during the training the day before. Now, but just as the game kicked off, I got to shake hands with Nicky Ajose, although it doesn't sound as cool as it was, because he was trying to shake hands with the bloke behind me.
Awkward.
Yeah, it was one of the most awkward things that ever happened. I saw him coming up, and he was sitting right in front of the press box. I thought it was Nicky Ajose. I wonder if he recognises me from back in the day. And I went, all right. And he seemed to be going, all right, like, really friendly. And then he put his hand out, so I was like, oh, all right. And then he went over my shoulder to the bloke behind me, the guy who covers Berry for local radio. I was like, oh, no. And then my hand was just hanging there, and he sort of shook it out of embarrassment, I think.
You know when someone tries a fist pump you and you just shake his fist?
So that was awkward. So yeah, sadly, mine and Nicky and Jose's bromance ended there. When Tilly shook my hand again at the end of the game, which was even more confusing because I was busy then and I didn't see him coming in. So
I nearly, go away.
I nearly left him hanging. I was like, "Come on, mate, you don't play for us anymore. Dream's over." The game started. I think fair to say that Charlton had certainly the better of the whole game, if we're being honest. But certainly, the better of the opening stages. There was a good run from Joe Rebo, pulled the ball back just behind McGuinness. Reeves had a header wide that wasn't the easiest of chances, and then McGuinness had two really good chances, sort of one on 15 and one on 23 minutes. The first one was all his own making, really. He had the ball in the area, great drop of the shoulder, got towards a bit of a tight angle, tried to beat the keeper Ripley, his near post, keeper made a good save. Mavadidi couldn't quite adjust to score the rebound. And then the second one, it was just a long ball over the top, I think might even have come from Ben Amos. Hopefully you've seen the replays since, Nath. Long ball over the top from Ben Amos, and he's going through there and he's got so much time to think about what he's doing, and Ripley's coming out. So at the time, you know, lobbing's probably, but then he just took slightly too long, and by the time he tried to lob, he was too near him. I mean, there's a striker that's not in confidence at the moment.
Yeah,
well, no goals in his last 12 appearances, 13 I think now, including yesterday.
Yeah. Well, exactly that. I think when you're low on confidence, you start doubting your decision making. You're slower. You're thinking, what if I miss it? Should I do it now? Should I not? Whereas a lot of the times when you're high on confidence, you'll just hit it without thinking. Sometimes it's just instinct. You'll hit it and it'll go in, and that's the sort of predicament he's in at the moment, which is a shame because ideally this will be probably a few games ago. Probably we've been taken out the firing line and give him a little bit of rest, but because he's had a busy year internationally as well. But it's obviously been well documented. We can't so. At the moment, he's just got to keep plugging away, and hopefully something will come off his shin, or I don't know, his back of his head, or anything, just to get that get him off the mark. So I feel for him, but like you say, he did have a couple of good opportunities today, which was disappointing. But you know, he is low on confidence, like you said.
Just noticed a tweet that's coming from London in at Geezer. We will come to most tweets after, so don't forget you can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. But London in at Geezer said, "Very corny the not being able to fill the bench. It's pointless." It's nonsense and it's posturing. So, and that is something else I've heard quite a few people say. They wonder if he's trying to send a message. But at the same time, Carl does sort of reference that point in his interview. So it's just worth listening to his interview and you hear his explanation of it. Like I say, it's up to you to whether you believe him or not. But I thought I'd just say you can hear what his explanation of it is. Now, Charlton did have a good chance to take the lead again, sort of just beyond the half-hour mark, and it would have been an own goal. We've given them enough of them away recently, so it would be nice to get one at the other end where the ball was played into the area by Reeves, and Nathan Cameron flicked it onto the frame of his own goal. But that was really probably the last real action of the first half. But you know, with those chances that we've had, I think we would have been going in at half time thinking, "Oh, is this going to be another game where at the end of it, Carl's going to have to come out and say we were the better chances, we were the better team, had more of the chances than everyone else?" Because we've seen that a lot recently.
We have, but you've got to think, then Bury have gone another half without scoring, and it's you know, it's going to be equally as hard for their manager to go in and say, you know, can we at least get a shot on target? And they didn't have a shot on target, and so you know, I think if we keep plugging away, and I think that's been a trademark of our games this season. There's been one or two we haven't, but we've plugged away. We may not have got everything we've deserved, but you know, we've carried on going. You know, even so, it's, and I think we, you know, it's every now and then the hard work will pay off, and you will get, okay, it's a scrappy 1-0, but it will pay off in the end.
And like I say, if you do keep plugging away, a team who possesses our quality for this level will always find a chance, and they will more often than not score at least once. And now, same can't be said for Bury. And unfortunately, I don't think this made the highlights on the Sky Sports app, where I think most people probably get their highlights these days. But their skipper, Stephen Dawson, hit the worst shot. I left you in the highlights. The worst shot I've ever seen. He tried to go for a cultured outside of the right foot curler from the edge of the box. And my God, he would have been happy if he'd hit the corner flag after the way it was genuinely the worst bit of football I'd ever seen. It looked like a man who's never tried football before, thought he'd have a pop, and it was horrible. And it wasn't that much longer after that we scored. I mean, Mavadidi had a pop from about 25 yards, but a couple of minutes later, superb build-up play. I'm sure you've both seen it. A superb build-up play from Joe Rebo. Now, we'll talk about Joe Rebo. How much of a revelation has he been over the last few weeks?
Oh, he's been top drawer, but I think a lot of it is, which I think Cole said a number of times, is a lot down to Bowes. I think because when Joe first came on the scene, I think it was the Bristol Rovers game, I think, at home.
Well, yeah, you think he made his debut at South... Well, I don't know if his debut, but he certainly arrived at Southend away on Boxing Day.
Yeah, and then he came in and we played... Was it Bristol Rovers at home and he got two assists?
Yeah, that's and correct,
And
maybe even three assists.
Yeah, I think it was. But the thing, he was quite deeper and he seemed to not really get involved, whereas now he's taking the game more in the other half and taking it to opponents like we did, you know, the Blackpool game. And obviously yesterday, and he's been great because we was worried, you know, if Forster Kaski or Kashi gets out, you know, we've only got Jairibo, is he going to be able to do it? And I think he's been a revelation since he's come back, and he's come on leaps and bounds, and it's only a good thing, and it's nice to see that, because you can clearly see the improvement that Joe's had since he's come in, and I think it's great, and obviously credit goes to him, and he'll probably keep a lot of, you know, if Clarkey was fit, he'd be giving them a game to keep them out of the side. So, all credit to him. I hope it continues.
Just so comfortable with the ball at his feet as well, and the way that little turn inside the penalty area just created so much space for him. Drags defenders out of position, and it's nice to see someone so comfortable with the ball at their feet in such a sort of congested area as the penalty box.
Well, that's it. I mean, he sent their guy for lunch. He really did with that turn, and. It's good, but there's a slight worry. If JFC comes back, is Aribo just going to be dropped down again? Because Carl obviously prefers JFC and Kashi in there. Well, I don't think, you know, but he's done anything wrong.
At the
wrong.
Same time, Joe can play in the free behind a striker as well, so you wonder, does he get moved? Or interesting. Hmm. But at the same time, Aribo and Forster Kaski, probably too similar to play against next to each other, and you do need Kashi in there. So they'll certainly give Carl a headache, a selection headache. We can't really say he's got too many of them at the moment. It's so good to see Mark Marshall on the score sheet. We spoke to him last week after the home game against Oldham, and you know, we're struck by his positivity, even though obviously we've just come off the back of a difficult run. And he's probably come off the back of a difficult personal run as well. And to get that goal now, surely... a real opportunity now for him to kick on.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying off air before the show, so when Marshy signed, he probably was my favourite signing. I thought he was going to be an absolute... He's exactly what we needed in that wider area. And like Mark, maybe not too vocal about it, but I have been disappointed with some of Marshy's performances. But in his defence, I think when he had the injury and he came back... I think he probably needed another couple of weeks out, but because of the injuries we had when we started getting, I think he probably played a few too many minutes than he probably would have hoped. So, but I think he's starting to get into the groove of it now, I think, and now he's got his first goal. Hopefully he can push on. But I mean, he's delivery. I mean, I'm surprised, obviously, Josh hasn't... obviously had too much with Marshy's delivery, but it isn't to be at the moment, but... Yeah, and I'm delighted for Marshy, especially to get his first goal, because it's always, like you say, a personal one, going that long without playing well, because he used to bang him in all the time for Bradford. So, but hopefully his confidence has gone up and we can obviously take it forward.
Yeah, and obviously we'd gone 68 minutes into the game and we hadn't seen a run from Steffi Mavadidi yet, so he soon put that right, picked the ball up, weaved his way into the area, took it past about 12 blokes, like he literally had to go off and take it past one of the subs. Because he likes to keep the ratio up, and so unlucky to see Connor Ripley just get something on it and push it onto the post. I mean, in terms of a direct threat, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen someone who can run with the ball as quickly as Mavadidi can and weave his way through defences. And it would have been like the second time he'd scored a superb goal like that in the space of a couple of weeks.
Well, it's nice because obviously, you know, we saw him last year for a couple of games and saw, you know, the potential. He then went to Preston and, you know, didn't really do much. So opposition, when they're scouting, don't really know much about him either, just really what they've read, which gives us that extra bit. And like I say, he is whip it fast. And I think if you get him, you know, running one-on-one with somebody, he's going to twist them and turn them all round. So, no, he's a very exciting player to watch.
Yeah. So. Just seen Talia's tweet. I know she's listening to Charlton Live this evening via what appears to be about a 60-inch TV.
Eh?
Which is quite impressive.
Let me have a look at this. Yeah, where
shame,
is this?
It's a shame we haven't got webcam, really, because we'd be able to enjoy the beauty of the studio in glorious HD. But luckily for us, you can't see us and you don't know how we actually look, which is probably for the best. Now, I mean, that in terms of chances, there wasn't really that much for us more than that. I mean, Josh McGuinness had a free kick that hit the wall because Ricky Holmes wasn't there to take it, sadly. And then, but I'd say there was 6 minutes of added time, and that was the only time in that second half where I got ever so slightly nervous, because we started sitting back on the edge of our 18-yard box, let Berry try and get the ball into the area. But, I say they didn't look like scoring in a month for Sundays. They literally haven't scored in more than a month for Sundays. It's 12 and a half hours since they scored, and we never really looked in any danger. I think Ben Amos got booked for picking the ball out of the empty stand behind the goal. And this is interesting. So we saw Amos jumping over into the empty stand to get the ball because there's no ball boy, and the club were tweeted out. But apparently, if you look at the replies, the reason he got booked is because he was the one who threw the ball there in the first place.
Oh, really?
So there was an empty stand. He thought I was going to lob the ball into it and then go and get it. And that's why he got booked for time wasting, it would appear. But we held on to the win, and, you talk about the character. And, you will look at everything that's going on in terms of players who aren't fit. I mean, Forster Caskey came on for the last few minutes, despite the fact he was, I was told, like, he was, barely, like 10 minutes was the most we were ever going to get out of him. But him and Solly wanted to come for the, be part of the team for this journey. And that sort of character, so a team that's got very few subs, fully fit subs that can come on, with all the turmoil that's had to go away from home, even if they are bottom of the league, you still have to, it's a long old journey up to Bury, to grind out a 1-0 win, get yourselves back in the playoffs. I mean, that just says everything about the character of the team that we'd hope to see for the rest of the season as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, if it is, they've got to take a lot of credit. I mean, don't get me wrong, before the last two games our form was shocking, and we weren't playing very well, but after all of that, it seems like we are now coming through the end of it, and players are starting to become more fit, and we're sitting in sixth position still. So when you look at in hindsight, yeah, it could have been a lot better, and we've given up a lot of sort of space where we were, say, just what, two games before the Portsmouth home game. But considering everything that's gone on, injuries, Holmes and the takeover talk, I think, yeah, that, like you say, they've done deserve a massive amount of credit just to pull through and still be in the shout for the playoffs, really. So
yeah, I am down on the Chat Live forum is moaning we haven't really talked about the takeover yet. I mean, that'll come up after after the
takeover.
Yeah. I mean, there's in terms of an update, we'll see what Carl says during his interview as well. We'll try and find out. It sounds like in terms of early next week, not a takeover is going to be complete, but early next week we're expecting to see some sort of message, possibly from Richard Murray. So it'd be interesting to see what that says. But we will continue to speculate on the takeover after. I think we should hear from Carl Robinson now. Now this Carl Robinson interview is 9 minutes long. It's packed full of loads of stuff. So obviously we talk about the game, the injury crisis, the fact that Solly and Forster Caskey weren't fully fit, but they decided to travel as well. Then we get into the meat of the Ricky Holmes story, and then you can hear we'll talk about the Samir Carruthers story. Now, like I say, obviously Carl isn't talking. Like, Carl isn't going to come out in the media and say slag off his owner. I had to do some digging to find out who blocked that transfer, and I had to do some journalism
up all night.
Yeah. It's a real
5 in the morning.
It's a real beard scratcher, that one. Yeah, I've put a hat on, one of those investigators. I'm getting magnifying glasses out. Yeah,
a little tag.
Yeah, so obviously it doesn't say that, but I did some digging, found it out. So, but you might be able to read between the lines in the interview as well, perhaps. But like I say, plenty of interesting stuff. This is what Carl Robinson had to say after yesterday's win at Bury. Carl, successive league victories back into the top six. I assume you're quite happy with that.
I'm over the moon. The players, listen, we had a meeting yesterday that in life you can only control the things that you control, and today we can control our own performance. Okay, things moving on, things right, wrong, or indifference around in a football club. It's about us and Charlton and the people who come and support this club, this great club. And today I'm more frustrated. This should have been 3-4, and that's the worry, that I'm getting more and more grey hairs since I've been here, because I'd love someone to bring me a cup of tea with 15 minutes to go, 3 or 4 up. It'd be lovely. I'd really enjoy that. We need to take our chances. It's as simple as that. But we held on, and they really, even second half, I think the post, the bar, 2 or 3 times today, missed 2 or 3 one-on-ones, scored a really good goal. And I thought Cashy today with midfield was sensational. But all of them, everyone to a man. Young Anthony Dick Steele, Ari Lennon still running on empty, Ezri Konta was on another planet at times today. David Silva, I'm naming all my players. I always do, you know. I'm really proud of them. Today we came here, outfield players, right? I think it was 15. Sorry, no, we had obviously 10 outfield players plus four more. 14 outfield players. I'll take you through them. Johnny Jackson had nothing left in his legs. He had a hamstring problem the other night. Only had 5-10 minutes in him, max. Jay Forster-Caskey has still got a hamstring problem. Chris Solly has still got a calf problem. We only had Rico, who was fit to come on as an outfield player, for more than 15 minutes. Right? I got a knock on my door Thursday morning. It was Jake and Souls. And they came in and they both said to me, "Gaffer, even if we can only play 5 minutes, can we be around the lads? This is now about us as a football club sticking together." And I said, "What?" I remember, "What? You know, it's a way better. It's a trip. It's so and so and so forth. It's not like it's at home." They said, "We don't care. We're in this together." And Chris Solly and Jake Forster-Caskey to come here injured, and Jake we put on. He said, "Luckily enough, he's been okay. We still have a look tomorrow." But the two of them are fit, and they put the body on the line for the club today. And so same with Johnny Jackson, he had a hamstring issue the other day, and we were trying to control him. I'm so proud of my players. I really am. I really, really am.
These two results over the last couple of league games now taking you back into those playoff positions. I guess that must, in a way, perhaps add to your frustrations with the transfer situation.
It makes it even more frustrating in some ways, obviously, because imagine if we were doing what everybody else was doing and kept everybody fit. It shows you how good the people are, the building. I'm proud of all my staff as well.
One player who appears to be leaving the building now, Ricky Holmes, spotted in Sheffield last night.
Yeah, I think it's inevitable. I think it doesn't take an Einstein. If he's seen in the pub up in Sheffield with someone with a Sheffield United badge, seen at the game last night, I think you can do your own maths, but
whose decision was it to let the player go? Did you ever say in that?
Well, I wanted Sam Etikud to come back the other way.
And who denied that chance for you?
You can make your own assumptions on that. Let me just talk about one other person, by the way. Richard Murray. What a man. What a man. Been unbelievable for me. And I want to thank him publicly. He's been there. He's guided me. He's supported me and Bo and Jacko. He's been on the phone to Stephen Gallen and me every single night. Everyone knows he's been coming and going and different things in his life. And he's still putting his life on hold for this football club. So whatever the differences or the frustrations or whatever people think, there's a man who really wants his football club to do well. And I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me over the last 2 weeks.
And finally, it's a traditional question now at the end of every game. But
take over.
Anybody take over?
Listen, that's still in the hands. I think we might do something early next week. But I think the Ricky scenario, I think someone fan said to me, is this the beginning of the end? In some ways, it's almost like that one where people are frustrated maybe, but maybe they see some light, maybe. So maybe that's an inkling as well. Because lightning strikes twice in some ways. And this football club going forward has to be stronger. We have to be more united. We have to be one. You've seen today the fans staying, the players put a shift in, the staff. I'm really, really excited by if we can bring the players in. But I'm seeing three strikers gone that I had on my list, and that's infuriating, as you can imagine.
So just for clarification, you said about the start of next week, is that the takeover or possible
movement of players? No. Yeah. I've been told that Ricky's wages that I can spend, so I can spend Ricky's wages.
Thank you.
But not the transfer fee.
I think I'm not in the position to answer that question. I think you are all very, very good at your job. I'm sure you know the right people to ask that question to.
At least we're not the takeover as early as next week.
We'll be making an announcement next week of just sort of what's been going on and maybe a little bit more official. I know Richard spoke to Tom Lubishaw today about maybe having a conversation. But listen, we're united. I think you can see that, can't you? I think you've supported this club or been watching this club for many years. I know you've... especially you two. I think you can be proud of your people who are employed by your football club. And not often always in football can people say that. And I'm really, really privileged to be in this situation and very honoured as well.
When did Ricky tell you that he wanted to leave? Or when did you know that he wanted to
leave? Well, I had a conversation with him on Wednesday. I was very honest with you. He was told that they came after him. And then obviously I was then, well, hang on. The transfer money, I think I'd like to maybe lose a bit of that and bring in the players. At least I've had another player here today, and you've got how many players that we had available. But I wish him luck. And mine and Ricky's relationship has been very, very close. I'll miss him if it goes through. It's still not gone through, so we're talking in some ways. But if he was to leave, I'd miss him. And he's someone that I've got a lot of respect for.
And when do you expect the deal to go through? If there is a day, yeah.
I'll be look Monday morning first thing.
Sorry?
Maybe Monday morning.
Oh, right. And you said you were interested in Samir Carruthers, who obviously you worked with.
I wanted Samir Carruthers, yeah.
Is that still a possibility now? Or if you are allowed to spend his wages?
I don't think that's a question I can answer. Listen, Samir can play wide right, 10, midfield, wide left. But that's the way it is at the moment.
Do you think Sheffield United would have been open to that deal?
I'm sure Chris would have done something. He's a top player. Don't forget, he's playing the Premier League, playing the Championship. The 2 years he spent in League One, he got two promotions. So someone's going to end up with a very good player, if he's available. So
are you giving up hope? Sorry again.
I never give up hope. But I can only control the things I can control.
Yeah. And second successive league game, Ahmed Kashi was the captain today.
He was sensational today. Yeah.
Is he the vice captain of the first team?
No, he's the vice captain. But the captain is out. The vice captain's out. The vice captain's out. And the vice captain's out. So now, and then the vice captain might be getting sold. So now he's today the vice captain. So that's a. That's where it is.
Who's the vice captain who's being sold?
Souls, Piercy, Jackson, Holmes, Cashy.
Yeah. And Patrick Bauer wasn't in the squad today.
We thought he was. He trained yesterday and he had a knock on his ankle. Okay. Next week we were expecting him to be back. Souls will be back, Jake will be back, Tariq will be back. Tariq maybe could have made today. He's got some tests to do tomorrow and Tuesday. He's back. It could be a good week.
So hopefully,
it could be a good week. Christmas, late, but happy.
Yeah, 7 on the bench then, hopefully.
That'd be lovely. Yeah. And what I want people to understand, you know, please write this. I'm not playing a game here.
Yeah.
I've looked at the 23s. They've got a game Monday. I've looked at the 18s. They've got their big game of the day. And I don't think there's anybody else in the 23s who deserve to be here, if that makes sense. I'd rather have people who may be... Jacko? Jacko, one second. So maybe... Here's the captain. So then we've... So it's not like we've got anybody else. They're all here. If we look today, Dick Steele, Konsa, Lennon, Aribo, Rico comes on. 5 academy players. This is just a tremendous testament to everyone. I backed 4 with 3 of them homegrown. I'm so proud. I really am.
Jackson, who's got Fox in the overlap, uses him. Fox crossing opportunity, fires it across, looks for Lookman, comes to Johnny Jackson, fires across.
Yeah, get in the skipper.
Johnny Jackson makes it 2 for Charlton. Ball from Fox was cut out initially, fell back to the skipper, fires it into the far corner, and Charlton double their lead.
That is an old jingle, still got Morgan Fox in it. I haven't played that one for a while. Great to hear there from Carl Robinson speaking after yesterday's win up at Bury. Now, so much stuff to go on based off yesterday. And due to the request from I and Dan on the forum, we'll go straight into the takeover stuff first of all. Now, it sounds like we can expect some sort of update from Richard Murray in the next couple of days, hopefully. What do you expect that might entail?
I can envisage a message on the website with a corner flag on it.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, you could probably write it here, to be honest. It's going to be, as you may have heard, we are in talks with several parties about the takeover of the club. We will endeavour to keep everyone informed as much as possible, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be something like that, I mean, isn't it?
Do you expect more from that? So, I mean...
I can't see they can say anything more,
If you look at what's coming out of the building this building in Southeast London. Mm. At the moment, there's a fair bit of negativity towards our current owner from the manager in particular. I mean, do you think we could see that replicated elsewhere? Is that unlikely? Am I...
What, in the statement?
Yeah. Do you think Richard Murray might come out in support of Carl's stance at the moment?
No,
he's not. He would... I think he would try and keep it onto a level where, it's, you know, he's not. He doesn't want to rock a boat. Because you've got to think, over the protests for the last couple of years, where there's been opportunities to come out and say... You know, nothing's been said. You know, now, you know, you can say, what have you got to lose by saying something?
Yeah, different times now, isn't it?
So, but, you know, obviously if he's going to stay on in some capacity with new owners, you know, he doesn't want to be seen as that kind of character, maybe.
I think it will help if he did.
Yeah.
If he did, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll, like you said, if he did rock the boat, would it push things on further? I don't know, but I mean, we'll have to wait and see whenever it comes out. I don't know if it's going to be early week or late week or whatever, but I mean, first thinking about it, you'd think it would just be a generic sort of PR response as you'd expect, but don't know if it has any meat on the bones. We'll have to wait and see, wouldn't we? But
yeah, I mean, you mentioned, Mark, that there has been chances over the last couple of years where if Richard felt like he wanted to say something, then he could have. I mean, do you think if he did have a change in tone to support the manager now, how do you think fans would react to that?
I don't know. Fans have long memories. You know, that's a thing. I mean, it's talk about someone who's been with the club for quite a long time. You know, had, you know, invested a lot himself in that. You know, but you know, we saw when the protest first started, it felt like a them and us. You know, it was everybody in a boardroom against further fans.
And people will remember Richard Murray's "It's Only a Message Board Thing" comment as well at the time.
Yeah, so I don't think people will be jumping for joy, but I don't think, you know, we've got to remember who we perceive the villain to be in this whole thing, and that's a certain gentleman in Belgium. And, you know, you don't take it out on the henchman in the Bond villain. You know, it's Blofeld you want gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're not worried about Odd Job.
That's one thing you could call it, Josh. it was notable in the interview there with Carl Robinson, his glowing praise of Richard Murray, of what he's, you know, what Carl said he's done, in particular since Katrine's upsticks to Championship strugglers Sheffield Wednesday. So Carl obviously seemed to be very much on the side of Richard yesterday. So I do wonder if, you know, that's what's just making me think, you know, Carl's been vocal in his disagreements with the owner at the moment. You know, in the media, slightly shaded, but in speaking to fans, which he knows will get out, you know, pretty blatant, to be fair. So that's why I just wonder if there may be a change of tone, or if because again, it does sound like it will come from Richard Murray based on what Carl said.
Yeah, but I think is, if it gets back to Roland, you know, what Carl's been saying, is he going to care? You know, he hasn't shown that he's cared for 3 years. So is he going to care that the manager's given him...
Is he even going to know? Because a lot of the stuff, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen the interviews that the Roland Out Today party have done with Roland. It's sort of like an undercover interview, but they've been putting out the transcript of it over the last few weeks. And the way that Roland reacts to or speaks about stuff that's happened over the last 3 years, genuinely, it doesn't really reflect what seems to have actually happened. So you do wonder if the person who was feeding him these stories may have been just slightly changing them.
Yeah, no.
Or they've been lost in translation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've read that all of those transcripts. And the responses he's been given is, like you say, you've had a basis of like a situation, but someone's been very, very dramatic and obviously... sort of slightly skewed it slightly and fed it to him, because the responses coming out don't make any sense. It's not actually what's happened. Whoever that person is or was, or whoever it could be, I don't know. But will he know? Will he find out? I don't really care, to be honest with you. I mean, the only thing it will bother me is if he does start going, all right, well, I'm going to be more spiteful and prolong this. But hopefully he doesn't, because I just think he wants to get out now. I think if he's willing to sell and obviously get rid of the assets, maybe, then he just wants a quick way out. But
it doesn't benefit him to keep it going for any longer than it actually physically needs to.
It didn't benefit him to come here in the first place.
No, it didn't. But he had an idea. Which, yeah. You know, is why he was collecting you know, it's almost like monopoly properties around Europe, yeah. You know, Hungary and Belgium and, yeah. You know, here, and that he could actually do something, and it just didn't work.
We were Park Lane, but now we're Old Kent Road.
Yeah. Do you think he'll have to go to jail?
Send him to jail.
I guess now, so I don't know if, I mean, a couple of people have mentioned it now, just over this. Before the game yesterday, everyone was pretty upset, I felt. Like I say, there was this story that was going around about possibly Samir Carruthers and that we were being let down by Roland in that case. The disappointment of the fact that we were going to only name five substitutes, two of whom weren't even fit. There was a lot of, I don't know, negativity before the game, and everyone felt quite down. And I just felt, just after the game, Carl was... got his point across about Samir Carruthers, but he's talking about the players that might come back, the takeover. The other day, he just said how it might be a good week this week. Now, I think he was referring to, in terms of players coming back, and he said it might be Christmas come late, but do you think he also refers to, like, say, the statement that could come out? I mean, are we getting that little bit more movement now? It felt like, I don't know, that... I just felt like we'd progressed a little bit more again.
I think so. I mean, if you looked at... if you looked at his reaction at the press conference on Thursday, and then we won the game, but we also won after the Oldham game. But if you look at the two, press conferences or the two post-match, he's completely different yesterday. He seems more positive. He seems more happy. He seems to have a bit more of a laugh instead of, you know, I don't know anything, da-da-da-da-da. I think, a combination of the players that are coming back, which, don't get us wrong, we do need them back, and it is a very, very good thing. But I think there's, in my opinion, there's an underlying factor that I think, like you say, maybe the statement could be what he's talking about. I don't know, but I think it's going to be a good week or so in the future.
Mm. I mean, we had Rick Everett on the show on Thursday evening to give us the latest update on the takeover. It was about a 10-minute interview with Rick, and, you know, he told us he felt confident that something was going to happen soonish, I think, you know, without going into timescales. I think he felt reasonably confident. Now, we're still in this situation where, you know, names of bidders are starting to come about now. We saw Alex McLeish at the last couple of games with the former Rangers director, Donald Muir. You know, these Australian names have been in the background for however long. I mean I've even seen someone started a rumour on one of the, I think on Facebook about Mike Ashley, but I really hope there's nothing in that, and I don't think there is. But you know, so some names that are probably more trusted, like Alex McLeish, is coming up now. So the fact that names are starting to emerge as well, and to be quite brazenly seen sat in the director's box, does make you think we must be getting closer again.
Oh yeah, it is. But again, you know, you can spend all week refreshing your browser and seeing what's going to come up.
Can and I do?
And delete your internet history as well.
I don't do that.
But you know, when it happens, I think it probably might take us almost by surprise that it's happened. I mean, if it happened tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock and it was announced, we'd all be gobsmacked. You know, Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'd all be gobsmacked. I think when it actually happens, I think you're right. I think we are. You know, looking at Carl's demeanour and the way, like Nathan said, the way he spoke, you know, something's been said to him. And I think it's because he's a very open character sometimes. And I think, you know, he couldn't hide any more how he was feeling. And it can't just be like Fosu's back can fit. It must be deeper than that. So
Now, obviously, the second thing I wanted to pick up from what Carl had to say yesterday was, like I said, this Samir Carruthers story. That we put out after yesterday's game. So the way I understand it is, basically, a deal was agreed for Ricky Holmes to go to Sheffield United. I believe it's Carl who's actually having to make these deals as well, someone told me, whether that's true or not. Because, I mean, you know, I don't know how involved Richard Murray can get with these things, but Carl certainly, I mean, Carl mentioned a few weeks ago he has to do 3 or 4 jobs at the moment. So I just wonder, with no de facto CEO, maybe Richard's helping as well in that sort of thing, but I understand that Carl sort of had some, you know, had a cash plus player deal for Ricky Holmes with Samir Carruthers coming the other way. Now that would have meant a lump sum, however much money, plus Samir Carruthers coming to us, but instead Roland just wants his money back, doesn't care that it leaves Charlton a player short. So now we're going to lose Ricky Holmes, we'll get more money for sure, I say we, Roland will get more money for sure. And that's it. Now, Carl was asked whether he'd be able to spend his... Well, Carl said, I'll be able to spend his wages. And then he was asked transfer fee. And he said, I'm not able to answer that question. But again, you know, it doesn't take much digging, much journalism to realise that... I mean, that's because Roland's saying no. We know this now. People are saying... You know, I think similar possibly happened at Standard Liège as well. Players seemed to be sold before he left. Now, some people... Like, debt management, I think, is the way that people are calling it. Basically... We're in. However, how much debt are we in? £50 million to him? £50-60 million to him?
Something like that.
I mean, the money that he like, with all due respect to Ricky, you know, he's getting on a bit. The money that would just be a drop in the ocean. He ain't going to manage much debt. But it's on principle, that's what Roland wants to do. So that's why we're stuck in this case now. Like, so we put the story out yesterday. Roland's made this decision to block Samir Carruthers coming here. Like Carl said himself, that Chris Wilder would have done something. I think that's coach saying, yeah, he was up for it. Fairly confident Sammy Carruthers would have come here to work with his previous manager at Milton Keynes. He's not playing games at Sheffield United as well. You know, and for that situation to be in, I mean, you can see Carl was angry. There was quotes from him off the record that went to fans outside the hotel as well, which in one bit apparently he called Roland a... I can't say it, but... ends in arsted. so clearly not happy about it. Charlton fans looked at that story. I mean, I tweeted out the story yesterday. I immediately got a load of death threats. Don't think they're aimed at me. I think they're aimed at the people within the story.
I don't know.
But I mean, clearly not happy because I mean, it just feels like this whole process now of his exit just feels like one last kick in the teeth. Where any chance? I mean, the boys put in a great performance yesterday, but we probably it's still fair to say we do need a couple of reinforcements and. With us, rather than getting reinforcements, we're losing best players as we come midway through January now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. He said it there. I mean, all he cares about is his pocket. I mean, the whatever amount he got, like you say, it probably wasn't going to touch the sides anywhere. But if you had the club's best interest at heart, you'd probably say, right, we are going to lose Ricky because of the situation that the club is going to and the prospects they have. But can we get something a bit return so we don't make ourselves weaker? We had that on the table, and he's obviously gone against that, and obviously chose to fill his pockets up with another £10 note or whatever it was. But it is what it is, and we all know what he's like. And it's just like you say, it is another kick in the teeth, which is why eventually, if we can go sooner rather than later, we might be able to sort out the other transfers coming in, because obviously it's obvious to see that he's not going to spend money on transfer fees anyway, even though obviously Carl can say it's obvious that he's not willing to do that.
The funny thing is now, of course, if you look at every January under Roland,
just take over.
This ain't really that much different to what it's been anyway. I mean, so last season we sold Ademola Lookman for what? I think it was, I can't remember, was it £8 million up front, rising to 11, something along those lines. Yeah. How much of that money did we see in return? I vaguely remember hearing that we got a 400,000 transfer budget for that January. We signed Jake Forsikaski in that January. Not sure how much we paid for him. But, you know, all that money that went out, I mean, that's debt management again then. £11 million. I mean, we haven't spent £11 million since then, have we? That's not how a lot of football clubs run, really. You get a bit of money in, you try and cover some running costs. But at the same time, surely you want to, you know, strive to get promotion. And that's... I mean, clearly in this situation, that's not happening now because, as Carl said, why would you buy your girlfriend a present if you're going to break up with her? That's the situation here. Rona's breaking up with us, and I feel jilted.
I don't know. I mean, you've got a lot, you know, possibly money. Work's been going on at the training ground. Yes. You know, not £11 million worth of work.
They built the pitches, but they haven't built the building.
No, I know, but there's, you know, it's all got to be put somewhere. I mean, until the accounts come out, which would be next year. You know, we wouldn't even know where that money has gone. So it's hard to find it's like a smoking gun, really, for any of his cash. You know, unless he's sticking it under his mattress and sleeping with his nose on the ceiling. Hmm. So
big mattress.
Yeah.
Big nose.
Oh, I only said something. All right. Don't pick on me.
I think we should hop on to the to the tweets. Like I say, if you guys want to get involved with tonight's show, anything we've been talking about, the game yesterday, the takeover, the Sammy Carruthers story that came out yesterday as well, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There is a thread on there. The first thing is from the Charlton Live forum. CFC Denmark says Cashy has been linked with his former club Metz. Do you think there's any truth in this? We could be looking for a vice captain now. I think the newspaper had the story about Cashy being looked at by Mets. I mean Cashy's contract's up at the end of the year, and you know, for all his performances this season, I do feel like I'd be surprised if he stayed with us, just because he's had such a torrid time. I think he'd probably want to head back closer to home, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was inevitable, really. As much as I know there's been a couple of games where he's not been, he's not been great, but I think on the whole, he's too good for this level. He's way too good for League One, and I think if by some miracle we got promoted, I think we might have a slim chance. But I can't see him being here next year, and which is unfortunate because I love the man, but it is what it is. And obviously, you've got to do what is best for his family. He's obviously got a family that are trying to settle here, so it looks like he'll have to go back to France, which is unfortunate for us. But if that's what he wants to do, we'll have to get on with it. Mm. It's not the first time we'll lose someone.
Now, Mark Griffiths tweeted me and said, with Ricky going, do you think there could be a mentality change from the players? Rather than give it to Ricky, he'll do something. to now it's my chance to shine, I'll run with the ball. Players such as Marshall, Reeves and Aribo, etc. I mean, do you think there's been an over-reliance on Ricky Holmes at times this season?
Totally. I mean, often I've said, you know, on here, that we, you know, it seems to be plan A is that Jay and Ricky run down the wing. It goes inside, it goes back to Jay and Ricky and Jay and Ricky. And it's... So, and it became...
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dependable, that's what was going to happen, and you just felt frustrated. It did seem like a plan B, spread it across the other side, give it to Marshall a bit more. You know, if Fosu comes back, that'll give us another option. Mavididi, you know, is a very good on the wing. Possibly, I don't know if we've got Charles Cook back from
Woking. I don't know if we have called him back. I think he's still
I think
there.
I think he went back there, didn't he?
He came back for one game and then we sent him back. But
yeah, because he played against Peterborough in the replay. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah.
He's another decent little player. You know, possibly this could be in Carl's mind, but you know, it's got to this time where he can actually bring a few players back off loan and have a look at them. You know, and say, right, we might not be able to get any new players in, but maybe we can use some of the players we've actually got here.
Jimmy C said it's another extraordinary week in Charlton's history, the soap opera that just keeps on giving. That's certainly true. I thought the last couple of weeks, again, like I say, it's all ramped up. I think I said it on last week's show as well. It's all ramped up in terms of just everything's happening at the moment. Like I say, this Carruthers story is almost, it's like, it could almost be a side story at some point because of the takeover that's going through. It's just another bizarre thing that's happened where, I mean, you very rarely see it where the manager effectively comes out and slags off the owner. I mean, Fulham weirdly have had it with Djukanovic, however you say his name over there. He's said, effectively came out and said, you know, if the board think that we have enough players, then they should sack the manager because I don't think we do. And obviously they're saying the manager's not good enough. And I think Carl probably basically saying that same sort of stuff, but at the same time, he's clearly stating his opposition to the current owner. You know, publicly and privately, but if he says it privately to fans outside hotels, it ends up on the forum anyway. Lewis Catt says Robinson is working absolute wonders under the circumstances. Would be absolutely criminal if he goes when the takeover finally goes through. Feels like he just gets it. And he said also massive respect for Solly Jackson and for Jake Forster-Caskey. Wouldn't expect any less from Jacko and Solly, but Forster-Caskey really buying into what it takes to play for Charlton, a brilliant young talent. So nice to see him finally settled. Good point there from Lewis. I mean, obviously we're all full of praise for Solly Forster-Caskey and Jackson. You had a slight knock as well for travelling, for being part of the squad, wanting to be part of the squad according to Carl, and wanting to be there even though it's a long trip to not the most glamorous of Greater Manchester locations, and you know, it's a night away from your family, but especially when for Solly, you know you're probably not going to be involved as well. So fair play to them. But talk about Forza Casio. And I did a piece earlier on in the season where I was asked for my player of the season at that point. I actually said Forster Caskey because I thought, you know, everyone's going to go for the star names, like at the time Ricky Holmes. But I thought Forster Caskey does so much stuff that perhaps doesn't get seen. Chips in with goals as well. Defensively, it really you know, helps out the back four with him and Cashy as well. I thought he's been excellent, and we've missed him over the last few weeks, I think.
Yeah, I think we've missed his composure and on the ball, especially with him and Cashy, because like you say, he does a lot of work. He does a lot of dirty work. Which I think goes unnoticed, and he's just a good technical player. He can seem to control a game, which I think sometimes we've missed. And he, like you said, at the beginning of the season, he was, you know, I think he was an unsung hero. But I think Billy Clark for me was the best at the beginning. But what he's contributed, especially the goals, which we always say about Jarebo and Forster Caskey, you know, what Bowes and Jacko's trying to drill into him. And he's a good young player, but he's quite an experienced young chap. I mean, he's played for England at the youth level, so he is a big player. And obviously, the sooner he gets back, you know, I'm not wishing anyone to come out the side, because obviously we've had two good wins. But when someone on the ball is that good, I think he needs to be in your starting 11.
Albert Rossi tweets in, Lou, I'm more worried about Konsa going than Ricky Holmes. And of course, Richard Corley reporting that he expects Konsa to be going to... Please don't headbutt the microphone, Nathan. he expects Konsa to be going to Everton for £4 million this transfer window. So, I mean, when Richard says that, you tend to expect that it will go through at some point. He played yesterday, of course. But, you know, in terms of a loss, do you think he will be a bigger miss than Ricky Holmes?
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, after Billy Clark, for me, Konsa's been probably my sort of like favourite player to watch this season, just to see his development, just see how much better he's got from last year. Less panic. And, you know, if he goes to Everton, which they've already got sort of like quite a young back four anyway, so I can't see him going and being put straight into that, because the fans are quite grumpy at the moment about Allardyce for not playing Lookman. So I can't see him going to Everton. I mean, £4 million would be probably quite a snip, really, seeing as he's quite a versatile player. You know, if they did it and loan back for the rest of the season, but I don't know whether Everton would want to do that. So I like Konsa. I think he's calm, and I think he was a good influence. I mean, Dick Steele next to him, because Dick Steele can look across, and Konsa's not a panicker. So, and I think he radiates a bit of sort of like serenity sometimes, and I think that'll help someone like Dick Steele, who is new to the team, not to do something silly and panic and give a ball away. And he knows he's got someone next to him who'll back him up.
Very much like Gomez in terms of being so calm on the ball, Konsa. I mean, when we first saw him at the start of last season, you're all thinking the next Joe Gomez. I think I played well for Liverpool today. Maybe got caught out for one of the goals, Joe Gomez. But I mean, it's amazing to think how quickly he's made himself a name in the Premier League team, despite having over a year out injured as well. And that's what Ezri will be looking at. We'll be looking at the fact that Gomez has walked into a Premier League team, and he'll be thinking that he can do it as well, because he's got a very similar player.
Yeah, but he can look at that, or he can look at Ademola,
yeah,
and go, well, you know what? You're getting 5 minutes in a Euro game. I don't think they've got any Euro games left, Everton. I think they were knocked out.
No, yeah, they got knocked out a long time
so,
ago.
So, you know, they've got nothing really for him to go into. And is he going to go just sit on the bench, or just be in their under-23 side? Don't know. It may not be the, you know, most beneficial thing for him to go now, as opposed to go in the summer.
Dwayne says, I can't help but think that Ricky Holmes has deserted us. This season isn't over for us yet, and if new owners come in now, things could get very interesting. I mean, I feel like opinion's been fairly split on Ricky about, you know, the snake emojis have come out for some, for others they wish him all the best. I mean, at this stage in his career, he's just going to try and, you know, last chance to maybe play at a higher level than he's ever played at, really. Mm. So at that point, he might jump in. At the other time, people think, well, we rewarded you, your loyalty, with a 3-year contract, and in return for that, we'd hope to have seen a bit more of it. I mean, people would be on both sides of the fence with that one.
Yeah, I mean, contracts are nothing these days. It's not just Ricky Holmes, it's just football in general. It's not worth the paper they're written on. Every player has a as a price if you're going to sell them, and every player has their ambitions to play at whatever level. But yeah, I'm disappointed that, you know, Ricky's gone, because yeah, we are, if we were top of the league, then he probably wouldn't go. But like you say, he's not 22 years old, he's not the same age as Ez, he's what, coming on to 30, he's got family, and he's probably been given a nice deal up there, probably a nice long contract, and he's playing for a team that, yeah, they haven't had the best of forms in recent weeks, but they're pushing at the top half of the Championship. If he was going to a Bolton or a Burton, like I said on Thursday, it's a bit different. But I can understand why people can see that it looks like he's deserted us, which I can understand. But I don't begrudge him anything. I mean, because in my opinion, he's given nothing but 100% every week for us. And I do wish him the best, but obviously not unless we play Sheffield United.
I think the people who celebrated most that he was going were Shrewsbury Town.
Yeah, we scored five goals against them last season.
All worldies.
All from outside the area as well. Yes, because we haven't played him yet this season. That's why they're doing so well. Shrewsbury, they haven't been destroyed yet. Ev James tweeted in yesterday, what great team spirit and togetherness we saw yesterday. It's this spirit and determination that, along with us true fans, we can and will find us promoted this season. I've said before and will say again, we will finish in the top two, I believe. And he added, I tweeted Terry in his commentary yesterday, stop laughing, that they were showing pride and passion, and to reflect that on the pitch, the rest is history. I mean, I'd love to finish in the top two. I think that's probably a bit beyond us now. I mean, Ev's still believing. He has believed throughout the whole season, to be fair to him. But, you know, like, we mentioned the team spirit and the togetherness earlier in the show, but it did feel like that yesterday. And you saw there was a great photo of the celebration after the goal, everyone involved. The celebrations after the game as well. You saw the whole team going over to the fans, and you know, compare that to the team going over to the fans last time we were at Bury. You know, no one got told, you know, where, you know, if they didn't like it, don't bother coming, which is nice.
It's
to
a
see.
Polite way of saying it.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's nice to see. But I think Robbo at the beginning, even in pre-season, he was saying how much of a tight knit group it was, and you've got they're hard working, and I know recent weeks we've been poor in terms of quality, but I'm in a camp as Robbo again, which I know I come across as a Robbo lover, but I can never I can't say I've ever seen a game this year where it looks like they haven't tried. But whereas previous years you look at the Huddersfields and the whole games where we didn't try. No, there was a lot of players that didn't try. This year I think you've got a group of players that will give 110% every week, and that's all you can ask for. So it does show the spirit that we have, and it was, like you said, it was nice to see the picture yesterday. They've been rewarded in a way, because it's probably been tough, and yeah, it's nice to reap the rewards.
Yeah, Bob Liscombe said he's looking forward to the week ahead, a takeover update, transfer news, and a home game. Coming, you Reds. It was his birthday during the week as well, so happy birthday to Bob. Christy T says, keep on refreshing my Twitter feed from Cancun. Here we go. None of us in Cancun. Chrissy T. So you're worried that was Tom then, because he's gone off somewhere.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, Bahamas or something. It says, hoping Roland sells this week so I can celebrate in the sun. Massive 3 points yesterday. Real siege mentality. Good to see everyone in it together. Robinson is impressing me more and more, given the circumstances. Martin says, that win just epitomised Charlton's spirit. Yes, I know Bury are bottom, but with our injuries and the turmoil the club is in, and losing Turncoat Holmes, that was superb. Robbo doing a fantastic job for me, and the Robbo Out Brigade should just shut up. Now, the Robbo Out Brigade, vocal in the last few weeks as well. Now, obviously, the couple of results, that's quietened down a bit, and people are... Like, I've always said that when we're winning, people are going to love Robinson's blah, blah, blah in, because he does do it a lot. And I've always thought, when we're winning, they'll love it. When we're losing, we'll hate it. And I think that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lot. Even before he signed, we were talking about him when he was linked, and he's a Marmite character. I know, obviously, you have the people that love him, like Exiled Addict, who obviously loves him. But he's so different. Some people, like you say, he can come across as like, oh yeah, it's the same old rhetoric. But it is the same rhetoric, because it is the same thing that happens week after week. We don't take our chances. Da 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 da. He's only saying what he's seeing, and I think it's quite refreshing. He's honest. At the end of the day, you can't ask for a manager but anything else but to be honest, and obviously win your football games. But yeah, we haven't. But he's still got our biggest. What? He's got the biggest win percentage ratio, isn't he?
Under Du Châtelet.
Yeah, under Du Châtelet.
It's about 38%, I think, yeah. His win ratio, which ain't bad.
Which,
really.
No, of course it's not. But I mean, I like him. But Yeah, I mean, the Robinson Out Brigade, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I can see why.
I've always wanted to join a brigade. I mean, where'd you sign up?
What, the fire brigade?
Yeah.
Girls brigade.
Girls brigade, yeah.
That one, so you've been part of that one.
Right, Reece said yesterday was a great win in the circumstances, no matter how poor Bury are. Fantastic to hear about Forster, Caskey and Solly travelling up to be with the lads. Carruthers' news, very frustrating, but central midfield isn't a priority. I heard we can get Holmes' wages instead, so if we can get a loan of a decent striker, I'd prefer that. I mean, like I say, we can spend Holmes' wages, we understand now. So, I mean, where does that go? Will there be a loan available for us that we can... I mean,
you'll be lucky to get either another kid from one of the Premier teams or someone older from maybe the Championship, but I can't see there's anyone out there, you know, who suddenly springs to mind who you can say, oh yeah, they're not playing for their team, but they would come to us. I mean, you go back to the Robinson Out Brigade. If he goes, any like owner of a club would want to set out their plan for the future of a club to sell it to the manager coming in. Now, is Roden going to do an interview for someone who says, right, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Not here. You know, who do you do the interviews? Who do you get in? How do you sell this club? Say, well, it's being sold, but we don't know who to. We don't know who the new owners are yet. You know, but
managers would more so, but I mean, would players care about that?
Players would not so much, you know, just as long as the money's coming in. But the manager, you know, really, apart from probably maybe Steve Evans, who would go anywhere, you know, where there's a Greggs, you know, you're not going to get a manager.
I went in Iceland today, they sell Greggs sausage rolls frozen. Yeah, that's amazing. Like, you can have them at home.
Oh, yeah, you've never seen those?
No.
I don't like them, so that's why I don't buy them.
Ah, right.
I'm saying you only just found out.
Yeah. Oh, the bakeries are available.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Sorry, I got carried away then. Right.
What's happening?
Well, because I'm thinking of food now, because we just got a great email in from Martin. Martin Isted, he says, "Hi Louis, my wife Lorna doesn't know much about football as she's a Palace fan." That makes sense, yeah. But she's just said, "Why don't you invite Louis and his mates round for dinner with us on a Sunday night, as they're on the table with us every week anyway?" Nice. So I'm assuming
I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, you're listening to.
You want me to do the cooking?
Yeah. So, Lord, I'm sorry to hear that you support Crystal Palace, and I'm sure you've made some other bad life choices as well. but inviting us around for dinner is a great one, and we'd be more than happy to join you next week, coming live from your kitchen here on Charlton Live. Right, Roger Trar said that Robbo should be knighted. He's working miracles with all what is going on at the club. I've got so much respect for him and the way he has conducted himself. And then Roger's also sent us in a lovely little song. Here goes, whoa, we've got Josh McGinnis, whoa, he can't bloody finish, whoa, he never scores a goal away. Very nice, Roger.
All at home.
That's true. 12, 13 goals, games without a goal now, sadly. Bob Liscombe, I've been an advocate of the Jose returning, but if Bury are that poor up front and don't want to play him, then I think I've changed my mind. Well, personally, I'd hate for him to come back just so I'd have to awkwardly see him again after yesterday's,
shake his hand again.
Yesterday's handshaking incident. One of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me. Tim Jackson, I wasn't there yesterday but managed to watch the game. Thought the players on the pitch were disciplined and committed. Aribo didn't have the best game but kept going and did well for the goal. Josh didn't score, but I thought he played well. Marshall deserved the goal. Come on, you addicts. Now, obviously, like we do talk about McGinnis in terms of goal records at the moment. He does. I still think he does bring other stuff to the game. Certainly defensively from set pieces, he wins a lot of headers in our own box. I think he does do a fair bit of link-up play as well that probably goes unrewarded or unnoticed at the moment because he's not banging the goals in.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I've always said, you know, I've liked Josh, but I've also always said that he's never going to get you 15, 20 goals, in my opinion. He's not a prolific goal scorer. He's more sort of a support person. I think he could be an ideal support mechanism if someone was closer to him. So, I mean, if you had the Reeveses in the world that were closer to him, which happened sort of that south end away where, you know, Reeves was a bit closer to Josh and he fed off some scraps. But I just find he's sometimes so isolated. There's only so much he can do. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to run down the channels all the time. He's that focal point. And yeah. I think he needs a bit of help. Well, he'd be perfect in a 4-4-2, but we're never going to play that, so you're going to need someone in and around him to get Josh's benefit.
I think we just need to get him to bring his family. because it's incredible. Yeah, every time he brings a family, he scores.
Yeah, when he brought his kid, he scored the hat-trick. And I think
for some reason, he doesn't like him coming here. But,
Matthias says it was good wins against Bury and Oldham. I give Carl Robinson massive credit for the way he handled the situation at Charlton. I hope to see you soon. Hope to see you soon, Matthias. Seb Lewis talking about the statement that we're hoping is going to come out from the club early in the week, saying says if it's a statement from Roland, it'll be full of huss and brackets dot dot dots brackets. Which, yeah, I saw Sebo on my way home yesterday. It was brilliant. So I, being an absolute cheapskate, I went round the houses to find the cheapest train home, and that involved me going from Manchester to Warrington, and then it says you have to change stations at Warrington. And I assumed it'd be like Wigan, where the two stations are just the other side of the road. So I had to walk the entire length of Warrington in about 25 minutes just to make my train. I had to rush and got there. But then I was on this empty train, assumed I'd be the only Charlton fan on there, because I didn't think anyone else would have been a cheapskate like me, and, you know, adding an hour just to save 30p or something. And then got off for the at Euston, keeping myself to the self, assuming I've been the only Charlton fan. Proved wrong when I saw one Seb Lewis getting off the train further down the platform, absolutely belting out Carl Robinson's name on the platform as well. He's loving it, having a great time on his way back from his away day. Got a few bemused looks from those who aren't converted to the Charlton story like we are, but I went and said hello to him. Didn't join in because, I've lost my voice or something. But Bert Palmer says the Ricky Holmes money is probably just an interest payment on the debt that's owed to Roland Duchatelain. I mean, yeah, in terms of the money that is owed to him as debt from the club, it's a drop in the ocean. It's nothing. Even if we got the upper end of the scale of what people hope, even if we have, I'm not sure we have, then you know it would still be a drop in the ocean. I mean, it's such a petty waved. I mean, it's Roland's money, do what you want.
Richard Justin, it's not fire anymore.
Richard Justin says Carl said that he hadn't given up hope on Carruthers yet. Could it still happen now? I mean, you heard it in the interview there that we played earlier on the show with Carruthers. Now, I do get the impression that he's saying that because you never say never. And if there is a takeover in the next few days, then maybe we can go and buy him anyway. But the way it says, I mean, I think if the owner doesn't change, then I don't think we will get him before the end of this transfer window at all.
Yeah, which is a shame because he's a good player, but we can always hope that something happens in the foreseeable future, and then we can go back and raid Sheffield United, if we can call it that.
Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Don't forget, you've still got time to get involved with our player in focus this evening, which is Harry Lennon. We've got a fair few tweets on him, which we'll come to. There's also emails in our inbox, which we're going to read after the break. So if you want to have your say on Harry Lennon, invite us around for dinner, whatever you want, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. Tweet us at Charlton Live. Head over to the Charlton Live forum. Back in 30 seconds.
But Ormer Kovic's line, he's gone for it, you know.
Oh, what a goal! What a goal
by Ormer Kovic!
Oh,
that's almost at the halfway line.
Unbelievable strike.
That is outrageous. Right footed. Well, we saw Ormer Kovic's line. What a goal.
Charlton Live. Welcome back, Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. I hope you're enjoying the show on your Sunday evening. We've looked back at yesterday's 1-0 win over Bury up at Gig Lane that's catapulted us back into the League One playoff places. Now, we have a question on the forum from I Am Dan. I'm not sure we can answer this, really. It says, if a takeover happens, where do you see the club within the next 2 years? And that's an interesting question. And it's a particularly difficult question because we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen, who's going to take us over. It could be one of a number of interested parties. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't know, if you look at, I think a case in point, and this is the only thing in the back of my mind has got me slightly worried now. We're all really eager for a takeover to go through as soon as possible. But I just wonder that once all the euphoria of the fact that Duchatelain would have left the club and, you know, it will be seen as a chance to start afresh. I mean, some people might expect things to just be perfect overnight, and they won't be. Look at Leighton Orient. Now, they had this horrible Bichetti fella, I think that was his name, last season, who's taken them down from League One all the way into the National League. But they got taken over in the summer by, it would seem, people with Leighton Orient at heart. They brought Martin Ling in as director of football. They've got a decent manager now in Justin Edinburgh, but they've only brought him in midway through the season because their manager before had them languishing in the lower reaches of the conference. Now, if you've been on a slide for a few years, it doesn't just change overnight. And I think that's the worry. I think, you know, we're all so excited for the takeover. We think that when it happens, it's going to be great and we're going to win the Champions League within the next 5 years. That's probably not going to happen. There's probably still going to be one hell of a slow turnaround. And it may be slightly a case of after the Lord Mayor's show once it does go through. Especially now, I mean, it could be anyone who takes it. It could be the Hitlers for all I know.
I think we're very nice family. We're so desperate for Duchelet to go. I think you don't really look at it, you're thinking anything has got to be better. And you're thinking anyone who's done the due diligence on the club knows, you know, can look back to the history. And you know, you don't have to go back too far to the Premiership years to see a full stadium, you know, an invested, you know, a solid team. We were a model for other clubs and we've stopped being that. So, and they obviously know about, you know, the protests about Duchelet, so they know how passionate the fans could be. So if anyone came in and said, right, we're going to strip it down, blah blah blah, sell you off, you know, they don't need the ache that would give them. So I'm fairly positive, like any kind of like takeover would be, it'd have to be a positive for us, because I just think they'd probably have a better interest in football than Duchelet's had.
Nathan, I mean, if you were to make a prediction, can you at this moment in time?
No, it's hard because, you know, it depends on who the new owner is. I mean, are they going to come in and just throw money at it, or are they going to try and do it steady? Or I don't know. But I mean, personally, obviously, I think there's only one sort of thing in the next 2 years, and if you include this year as one, is you're going to have to be pushing for those top two, and that's the only thing that we can really. I don't see there's much point in trying to aim for something too far ahead, because we're still a long way to go where we need to be. So I would say to build a decent squad to try and get out this league and be competitive for the Championship. But I'm not going to say, you know, be within, you know, the Premiership within 5 years and all that jargon, because it never works like that. So just take it a season at a time, but obviously try and be better. I know it's boring, but I think what we've had in recent years, we've just got to be sensible.
I think in 5 years time we're going to win the Champions League.
Yeah, but you say that, but look who's in the Premiership at the moment. Yeah. Brighton,
yeah.
Huddersfield, you know, Burnley. You know, they've been a bit of a yo-yo the last couple of teams.
You've got Wolves going up there now.
Wolves are probably most likely to go up. You know, they've been there. But you've got teams in the Premiership, Huddersfield and Brighton, who, if I'd said to you 2 seasons ago, oh, they're going to both be in a Premiership, you'd have had me sectioned. So,
well, we're still plenty to go on there if we need to get you sectioned. But we'll talk about that after the show. Right, Charlton Sol DM'd us saying, always viewed Carl Robinson's passion and rhetoric as a bit of a PR gimmick. However, Robinson's authenticity has really shone through these past couple of weeks. He has fought for transparency and demonstrated an acute understanding of what Charlton means to its fans. He's put himself on the line and has treated us with respect, so glaringly absent from those above him. For me, he has been the club's manager and owner for the last couple of weeks. If he is sacked, it would be a total travesty, but he would certainly go down as a man who brought stability, turned us around and regularly spun gold from straw. That's lovely words there from Charlton Simon. Carl Robinson, that's got on the email. Samuel Spong emailed us, Roland du Châtelet not only represents but showcases and celebrates the darkest, most destructive side of human nature, where football clubs represent the best of a community spirit, passion and pride. Roland du Châtelet smirks at it all. By virtue of his wealth and privilege, his views are superior to thousands of people. We're a little people in little places. We don't have feelings. Our emotions and history mean nothing. Our misery isn't real. We're not humans. Roland du Châtelet may hold himself in high regard, but will never change the truth. He is a bully, and like all bullies, he is a coward, never facing us himself, willing for those with more to lose to take his bullets, incapable of any decency. Roland du Châtelet is a sad little man who will never truly be able to experience the beauty of unity as we have, and for that I feel truly sorry for him. That's from Samuel Spong. They're not a fan of Roland du Châtelet. Martin's just upgraded his dinner invite. It says if Roland's gone, we're going to have champagne as well.
Oh, lovely.
Fancy.
Oh,
fancy. Right, Chris Davin says, subject line, Ricky who? Ricky Holmes, I think he was called.
Ricky Holmes.
Yeah, Ricky Holmes. they say that he says they say a week is a long time in politics. Well, a day is a long time in the ever evolving history of Charlton Athletic. It seems tricky. Ricky is no more off to pastures new. Ironically, I think he is still, as far as I know. Ironically, has worn the captain's armband on occasions, yet chose to leave the sinking ship. The way that he has been eulogised by some on social media, you'd have thought he was some kind of legend leaving after 300 games and a life at the club. Now he's a decent League One player deciding to leave after less than two seasons at the club. He's hardly Solly or Jackson. If it was his choice to want away, he doesn't want to play for Charlton, the club that we'd walk over broken glass to play for. So good riddance. His career from now on, I couldn't care less about. I saw a comparison with Scott Parker, who left and was forever Judas, whereas Holmes is portrayed as a hero. Both Judas to me, though. Two wins on the spin and a winnable game v Walsall next Saturday. We're back in the playoff mix. If we take it as a given that Wigan and Blackburn go up, then amongst the playoff contenders, even the squad we have, I say there is nothing to fear. We have as good a chance as any of them, so I wouldn't give up just now. Glad to see Robinson allegedly slagging off Roland to fans outside the Manchester Hotel pre-match. I'm not his biggest fan, understatement, but now he's a footballing version of Che Guevara. If you tremble with indignation at every industrious, then you're a friend of mine, he quotes. I'm beginning to warm to him. Don't forget, people, the revolution is what's important, and each one of us alone is worth noting. Up the revolution. That's from Chris Davin. Thanks for that. Mick Brazil says, I enjoyed Carl's interview. He says a lot. And we need to use a filter at times, but in describing the knock on the door from Solly and Forster Caskey, I think he's shown he knows what Charlton supporters are all about. I think he gets us. In contrast, Roland and Katrine didn't even try to understand it. In fact, they did the opposite. They looked down their arrogant noses at us and told us they knew better when it was quite obvious that they didn't. Charlton supporters value effort, determination and overcoming odds by sheer hard work. Mix in some humility and you've got the recipe for becoming Charlton heroes. I think he's got that just perfect, that line there. That's well done, Mick. He says, I hope the new owners have some of those qualities. If they do, there are good times ahead. I long for a return to the Saturday routine. Charlton supporters don't ask for much, but we do know what we want. Now, Ryan Fitzgerald says, there's a silver lining to the home still. Says, evening, gents. The eternal optimist in me wants to see the link-up between De Silva and Mavadidi that was on display yesterday as the silver lining to Holmes being sold. Just a shame they're both on loan. Plus, with Aribo, Marshall and even Reeves in the mix in the middle and Foster on his way back, we still have a decent amount of skill and pace going forward. Still holding out hope on getting a striker in before the window closes as the final piece of the puzzle, even if that does end up being the recall of someone like Igor. In any normal club, that wouldn't be a given, but it just seems like Roland is being as spiteful as he can as he drags the sale on as long as he can. So I don't know if he's being spiteful. I think it's just being boringly businesslike. Unambitiously businesslike is horrible. It's not football. It's not what football's about. It says, nevertheless, fingers are well and truly crossed for the good week ahead. Let's see how good that week's going to be. Final email comes in from Marcus Jack. Says, do you know if the Football League carry out a fit and proper purpose test yet before a takeover is carried out? You just assume so that they'd have to do that beforehand. Yeah. Surely they wouldn't wait till after to do that.
Actually, I mean, it's the old Salino thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, how effective that can be, I don't know. Because, I mean, like I say, you look at the people that have got through over the last few years. I mean, there's some shockers. So how much it is currently effective, I don't know. So we'll see. Right, we've got 5 minutes left of the show. Tonight's Pro in Focus, I mentioned earlier on in the show, is Harry Lennon. Now, of course, he's he's 23 years old, defender, come up through the academy. He was just starting to find his feet. You know, he played in our Championship relegation season, then was playing quite a lot at the start of the next season as well under Russell Slade. I think he gave away a penalty at Port Vale on the night that Russell Slade was sick, absolutely sick. And since then, I don't think we saw him for 13-14 months in league action because of an injury. I think it was in his pelvis or something like that. It's a bit of a weird injury. But he's come back now, back into the team, and I mean, starting to hold down a place over the last few weeks with PSCL. What do you make of him, Nath?
No, I thought he's done good. I think when he first came in, I found him very naive in his defending. I thought he jumped in too quick, gave away silly fouls. I thought he was quite ill-disciplined. But since he's come back, I mean, he played very well against Southend. Apart from maybe the goal, but I think he looked assured. But he's a good player. And we all know he's not going to be the number any of the first two choices. But he's a good player. He, you know, Gillingham was sung from the rooftops when he was there on loan, and he's a decent little player. He's played 28 times, which is mad to think. I didn't even think he played that many games for us, 28 times.
I think certainly in the Championship season, there was a couple of times where I pointed out mistakes that he made that I felt he could have done a bit better with. So, I mean, it's good to see that he's coming a bit more solid now, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I mean, it's going to sound funny. I think he's got the right build for a centre-half. You know, he's got some height, he's got some muscle on him. So, I'm trying to think who we were playing a few weeks ago, and you thought maybe we were going to be out-muscled. Was it Portsmouth? Possibly.
Maybe he might be an Oldham at home, or somewhere. Blackpool or someone.
Yeah, yeah, and you thought, oh, you know, he's going to be pushed around a bit. Because, you know, sometimes even Naby gets pushed around, and he's a big old wardrobe. But, you know, Lennon, I think he can be a threat in both ends. You know, set pieces, you know, he's good with his head. Like I said, right, you know, if he cuts out some like basic mistakes, you know, and he does tend to overhit a pass, you know, but I think it'd only be, like I say, because he's been out for 14 months and you don't know how long it takes you to get your rhythm back, you know, get your full fitness back. So, no, I like him. I think in next season it'll be him plus one other of a centre-half for us anyway. So
excellent. Right, so I'll put it out to you guys, asking you what you made of our player in focus, who is Harry Lennon. Freddie says, I'm a fan. I think you can tell he has not played in a while, but he has a very good pass on him. He is going through the mill at the minute, playing so many games despite only just coming back after a year. If any man can help him grow as a person and a defender, it's Carl Robinson and his staff. Martin says he's a very good defender, reads the game well, which makes up for a lack of pace. Reece says, I'm not a big fan of him. Wasn't there yesterday, so can't comment on his performance then, but wasn't impressed with him versus Oldham. A lot of dodgy clearances. I'm never confident when he plays. However, as a fifth-choice centre-back, he's not bad at all, and good to have depth in that area. Paul Stevens says, I think he's a decent defender, could learn a lot next to Pearce in central defence if he gets the chance next year. So that's Harry Lennon, our player in focus. Right, we're just about coming to the end of this evening's Charlton Live, or what is gearing up to be, well, maybe another interesting week. We don't know. I mean, if a takeover goes through this week, it'll certainly be an interesting week. If it's just a statement and players coming back from injury, it'll be a progress in some way that'll be good. Funbluff did ask us on the Charlton Live forum if we know anything about the various Mark Curry, Yvette Fielding, Tracy Chapman or Eddie Large takeover rumours. I did some googling. At least two of them used to be on Blue Peter.
Yeah. One of them used to sing a song, didn't they?
Yeah, so I'm starting to wonder if Funbluff might be on a bit of a wind up there, but I've never heard of them. Unfortunately, sometimes the jokes, I'm a little bit too young for them.
Yvette Cooper, was it?
Yeah,
Yvette. Is she a politician?
No, Yvette Fielding. Yvette Fielding,
yeah. Does the thing with Derek Okora, the Ghostbuster. She was a Blue Peter presenter.
The sort of club we are, I wouldn't be shocked if we get taken over by those people.
By Derek
Okora, yeah. The spirits have told him.
Yeah, he could tell us the games, the results before the games, and save us all the hassle of coming. Excellent. Right, this has been Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Thank you very much to Nathan Willard for coming in.
Much love. See you later.
Thank you to Mark Newbury for coming in.
Fingers crossed for this week.
Yeah, I've been Louis Menace. This has been Charlton Live. We'll be back on Thursday evening to bring you news of, well, who knows? We'll find out during the week. Hope you've enjoyed the show, and we'll see you later. Charlton Live.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.